I'm thankful to be here tonight. Hope you are too. I wanted to say before I start, I am a stay-at-home homeschooling mom, and I am kind of biased toward that. And some of the things I say might make you think that I am. I am pretty biased to it. But I don't want to make you think it's sinful for you to work or have your children in public or private school. I'm not here to say that. But what I will say is that the devil is seeking for the hearts of our children. They will get them at home. They will get them at school. The devil will get them even at church buildings like this. Wherever he can get them, he will get them. He will get your children's hearts, and he will snatch them away from the church, from Jesus. So we must all be vigilant and diligent to train our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I hope that some of the things I have learned will be helpful to you. Believe me when I say I don't have it all together. It may seem that way, but I don't have it all together. Our scripture is from Psalm 127, and all of my points will be from that scripture in one way or another. And that reads, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage to the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." To maintain spiritual growth as the family grows, one must work on these six things. The first is goals. The fruit of the womb is his reward, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. This is from verses 3 and 4. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:15. The goal for a farmer in the growing is the fruit, it's the harvest. It is the end result of his labors. A mighty man or a warrior has a goal or a target in mind when he shoots his arrow. The same way, the family must have a direction. Of course, we all must have a goal of getting to heaven. That must be our ultimate goal. We don't often think about the steps needed to reach that goal. What are we going to do every day to make it there? What is our purpose to our everyday living? Is the family's primary goal evangelism, which should be in every family's goal? If you are a Christian, it should be one of your goals to some way evangelize, to teach. But how are you going to do this as a family? Will you be involved in mission trips, correspondence courses, reaching out to your neighbors? How will this be accomplished? Maybe the family goal is to encourage other believers. How? Through youth programs, like Lads to Leaders? Through camps? Maybe publishing books or other materials. Choose something and help the whole family get involved with the mission of the family. We struggled with our family mission for about a year. Finally, I was reading this book, and the author encouraged you to think about your family mission. And she said, go to Colossians 3, read the whole chapter, and think about this in view of your family goals. I read that chapter and I was like, wow. Everything that we want for our family to be is in that chapter. Everything we want our family involved in is in that chapter. I also urge you to do the same and discover your own family mission. Here is our family mission, and it will change and grow as our family changes. We are a family that will look for heavenly things, love what God loves, not be affected by the world, execute sinful actions, that means to get rid of sinful actions, get rid of sinful thoughts, silence sinful speech, dress up with good attitudes, put up with each other, that's a tough one sometimes, forgive, love like God loves, be peaceful, be thankful, know the Bible, encourage each other, sing, and be ambassadors for Jesus or influence others for Jesus. We put it in somewhat simpler terms because we have younger children. So that is our family goal. Once you have your family mission, use it. Every day you make steps to be this kind of family. Are we there yet? We're not there yet. Each person in the family should have their own goals that push the family forward. Find activities that fulfill these goals. If you want to strengthen your loved ones, your young ones, maybe that means homeschooling. Someone else might rather get involved with Lads to Leaders. Whatever you do, be sure it's as a family and brings glory to God and encouragement to the kingdom. As an example, I set in my personal goals, I've chosen encouragement to be one of my primary areas that I work in. To fulfill this, one of my goals is to write 2 articles a month. And they would be encouraging articles. And as a family, we've decided at least 1 time a month to do something for the congregation, for another family, or for an individual. My second point is readiness to learn. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. This is what verse 1 says. The indication here is that there's some knowledge to building the house. We can't just go out and gather wood and expect, you know, hammer and nails and know how to build it. There has to be some knowledge involved. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply thine heart to instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. As a Christian wife and mother, sometimes I am overwhelmed as to the areas that I need to grow in. I need to be a good servant to God and His church, a good wife to my husband, a good mother to my children. There are so many aspects to these relationships in my life. Nurturing, teaching, training, hospitality, social relationships, intimate relationships, cooking, cleaning, and so much more. Verse 1 tells us that our labor is in vain unless the Lord builds with us. His word must permeate every aspect of our lives. So before any other words, we must study the Bible. This includes sermons and podcasts. Whenever I'm able, I like to play some when I'm cooking, and that way I get some learning in and multitask at the same time. Our home can be pretty busy, so it's hard for me to get it in. But that's one way that I enjoy getting it in. Books written by Christians on a topic that they have thoroughly studied or have experienced themselves, they can be helpful. Remember that these are also written by men and women that are capable of making mistakes. We cannot make the mistake ourselves of trusting what a man wrote over and above what the Word says. So make sure that we know the Word well enough. Let's not discount completely the works of non-Christians. These can be very helpful to our lives as well. If we are doing our job of staying in the Word, again, we can discern what's true and what's not. Another area we can learn from is to interview either formally or informally an older man or a woman in the church about various topics. Once I was very fortunate to know an elder and his wife. They had 4 grown children who were friends to each other. They treated each other wonderfully. I asked the elder and his wife, I said, how did you raise children that treat each other so well? And she said, whenever there was fussing going on, he didn't ask any questions. He went in there and spanked every bottom in sight. And that's how they learned to love one another, through that punishment. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to sit across the table from 3 widow ladies who had all raised their children in the church, and unfortunately, not a one of them is faithful. And so I took the time to ask, if you had one thing to say to a young mother, what would you say? And they each gave me their answers. So take this opportunity to ask when these opportunities arise. Questioning such as this helps to fulfill the mandate in Titus chapter 2. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We should fulfill this by learning from others that have been there before. They have experience that we can draw upon and that we can learn from. Our next point this evening is organizing priorities. This is balance. Again, verse 1 tells us, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. They chose to build above all else. They could have done other things, but they build their house, and we're going to build our house as well. Their priority is to build. Colossians 3 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections on, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Jolene got up one day and read her Bible. Then she met with her neighbor for a two-hour study. It was a very good study. Back at home, she worked on her lesson for ladies' Bible class. In the afternoon, she listened to some sermons by her favorite preachers in the Brotherhood. Later, she spent an hour in prayer for her church family, for missionaries, and loved ones. In the evening, she drove to a nearby town to hear a gospel meeting. Well, all of this is great for Jolene to do. But if Jolene continues to focus so much on the spiritual, she will not be alive to even do anything. So neglecting the physical, we will cease to exist in the physical. So we're physical beings. We have to live in this physical world, and we have to balance that. So unfortunately, being physical means food for our bodies, planning meals, going to the store, shopping, cooking, eating, bathing, clean homes, and clean clothes. These things all demand our attention, and we must find ways to deal with them all. We also have to realize that there are times in our lives when we have to let things go. When someone has lost a loved one, those dishes will have to wait. It's time for us to go comfort somebody. While I was getting this lesson ready, I had to put exercise. This year, exercise is one of my top priorities. But this week, I had to let it slide so I could be prepared for this. We must realize that there are more important things, such as attending church or a Bible reading and prayer time, that must get done. You've probably heard words with friends. Our next point is words with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 tells us, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If we are not people of prayer to beg God to help us build our homes, then our work to build them will be in vain. The psalmist tells us that we would rise early, stay up late, and eat the bread of our labor, but it will all be in vain unless the Lord builds it. I've long been fascinated by a story in the Old Testament. In 2 Kings, and it's also recorded by Isaiah, King Hezekiah received a letter from messengers, and he wasn't sure what to do about it. So guess what he did? He went to the temple, and he laid the letter out before the Lord. And he said, Lord, what do I do? And of course, Isaiah sent him an answer. Ladies, do you realize the power of prayer? God won't send us words through a prophet again. But we have to know that He will help us. He will help us if we only ask Him. Jesus told His disciples in Luke 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, would he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? We are God's children. Do you think that if we bring our children before Him, before His holy throne, do you think He would throw us out of His throne room? No, he would give the best for us and for our children. I think God would bless our families. Another area we need to maintain or our spiritual growth is training our children. Verse 4 of our text says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth." I picture the warrior as he prepares to fire at the target. He's prepared his weapons. He's kept his arrows in good condition. He's kept the fletchings straight and sharpened the points. And as I was researching this and looking about arrows, I discovered that if you don't properly look at the shaft before you fire it, if it's got any kind of crack, when you pull it back and fire it, I saw pictures of two men with their part of the arrow went through their hand. So they have to keep their arrows well maintained and have to check them over. They put the nock on the string, they pull back, anchor it, aim, and all of this is done before they release. In the same way, we prepare our children before we send them out into the world. There are several areas we must prepare our children. The first and most important is they must have a strong foundation of God and His Word. The best way to accomplish this is through family Bible study. This isn't simply to have your children do their own study, like doing their homework from Bible class. They will learn more from realizing that mom studies the Bible too. The best way to raise children that will leave the church is to be a hypocrite. Let's not be like that. Let's show that Bible study is important and to be involved with our families in daily Bible study. And beyond simply studying, we need to teach them how to apply it in their lives, how to use it in everyday life. You know, the devil quoted scripture when he was tempting Jesus. But Jesus was the one who rightly applied scripture to overcome that temptation. So we must train them in all aspects of life. Again, we are physical beings. And if we train our children in these areas of the physical life, that'll help us in our spiritual lives as well. In a large family, mom might have difficulty getting study time in. Well, if you've trained your children to do some of the housework, you can be more involved in the study, family study, and personal Bible study. In my home, my 11-year-old, who's a boy, does my laundry. Now, I'm still in charge of putting it away, but he washes. So this is helpful to us because we can get more done that way when we work together as a team. Train them to help around the home. It helps them to have those life skills as well. Also, if my child knows how to bake, they can be involved in hospitality and benevolence. These are ways in which your children can be involved in the church and be trained at the same time. My last point tonight is habits. Hebrews tells us, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another all the more, and so much more as you see the day approaching." The word manner here is sometimes translated custom. This refers to their habits. If it is your habit to be in a building every time the doors are open, then there's no question about it. Make the commitment that you will be at an assembly every time, even when traveling, find a good congregation and attend each Sunday and Wednesday. Routines are good in other areas of your life. I'm sure you have routines. A lot of people get up, they don't think about it, they go make coffee. They brush their teeth a certain time every day. Everybody has routines. You can do the same thing with spiritual things as well. When my son was born, we made the decision that we would have Bible time each day. This has changed as our family has grown, but each night before bed, we gather in the living room for prayers, for songs, and Bible story or devotional of some kind. Sometimes we play a Bible game, but this is every night. Even when we're traveling, we'll be in the car, one might be asleep, but we have our prayer time. We do this based on Deuteronomy 6:7. God wanted Israel to teach their children His laws four times a day. When you get up, when you walk, when you sit in your house, and when you lie down at night. That's when you teach them God's laws. And so this is the principle we have for this. Another thing we've added as the kids have grown more is family Bible reading. I decided, hey, you know, the Bible stories were great when they're little, and we still read those to our little ones, but they need to hear God's Word. They need to hear the actual Bible being read. So we have a Bible reading every day. Right now our routine is to do that at lunch. I have a really good Bible app that I can play, and we can hear the audio Bible being read. But sometimes this doesn't happen, and at bedtime my 2-year-old will say, "We need to do our Bible reading." So even the little ones will understand routines. Mom, sometimes it's difficult for you to get in your Bible reading. Find a time every day and make it a routine. Right now, I'm fortunate that I'm nursing 7 or 8 times a day. The first time I sit down to nurse, I have my iPhone with my Bible app, and I have a Bible reading I read every day. I get it in that first time, otherwise I forget. When I'm not nursing, I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm always kind of hit and miss whether I get it. But right now, I'm getting it every day. So find a time for you every day that you'll do your Bible reading. You can see how habits or routines can be beneficial to us. So tonight we looked at 6 ways that you can grow spiritually as your family grows physically. And they are goals, readiness to learn, organizing priorities, words with God, training, and habits. I'd like to close with a poem I wrote, and I think it applies. More. More mouths means more food. More little ones with a bad attitude. More clothes to add to the pile, less time to go that extra mile. More appointments to get to on time, more punishments to fit their crime. More hair to pull to hear her scream, more jobs to work together as a team. More little ones who fuss and cry, less time to give another try. More arms that reach and hug, more times to wrestle on the rug. More tolerance when things go wrong, more strength when the days are long. More talk to the one who lives above, more little ones to teach of his love.